Well, today we'll be in the book of Philippians. We're looking at Philippians chapter 3, verses 7 through 11. Philippians chapter 3, beginning with verse 7, the word says, "But whatever things were gained to me, those things I have counted as loss for the sake of Christ. More than that, I count all things to be a loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them but rubbish so that I may gain Christ. And may be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith. That I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being conformed to His death, in order that I may attain to the resurrection from the dead." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we want to exalt You today. We want to lift You up in Your name on high, Lord God, because in all the world, Lord, in all creation, Lord, You alone are worthy of worship. Worthy of our praise, Lord. And just our songs today have reminded us, Lord, of the glorious truth. And the baptism today reminds us of the glorious truth, Lord, that You change lives and that we are saved through Christ. And Lord, you give us new life and You give us hope and joy and forgiveness and peace. And Lord, just a true and abundant life. And because of that, we can rejoice. We can sing to You with our hearts and sing with joy. And we can look at Your Word and read it and study it and live it in our lives, Lord, knowing that we are called to understand Your Word. We're called to live Your Word and to be a light in the darkness, to be a testimony, Lord, to everyone else around us. And Lord God, it's one thing to say we're followers. It's another thing to actually obey You and to follow You. And so we need Your Word and to live it and to love it and to learn it. So, Lord, as we look at this passage now, just help us to understand it and help us to submit to it, Lord, and to You. It's in Christ's name. Amen. How many of you just love swimming in Falls River? Anybody? Okay, three or four of you? All right, that's awesome. We put you on my prayer list. And now, some of you like to go in there for a quick dip every now and then. I like to jump in and jump out real quick. No telling what's going to get me. But there were some treasure hunters off the coast of Florida who went for a quick dip and a while back, and they discovered a treasure worth over $4 million. You may have heard about it. And they found some gold coins that were part of a shipwreck all the way from back in 1715. It laid in the water for 300 years, and they discovered it. And all the coins were rare, and several of the coins were worth over $300,000 each. And so imagine if, in the course of events, it was discovered that there was a treasure chest in Falls River. And it was worth over $4 million. How many of y'all would enjoy swimming in Falls River? Right? Some of you may get up and leave now and go swimming in there. And go dive in head first. But if that were the truth, we would always probably see somebody out there swimming in there looking for it. With scuba gear going in there. Why? Because they believe there's something of value out there. They believe that that treasure worth over $4 million would add value to their life. It would add meaning to their life. It would give them joy in their life. And so they would go out there looking for that. You know, you and I are treasure hunters, are we? Aren't we? You know, we may not be looking for gold, but we're looking for something to add value to our life. We're looking for something to give joy in our life. We're looking for a meaning in our life. And so we pursue all sorts of things. But the greatest treasure in life is not a thing, it is a person. It is the Lord Jesus Christ. And He's far greater than any treasure, far greater than any gold, far greater than anything. And so we should be pursuing Him more than we pursue anything else in life. Because He's a true source of joy. He's a true source of meaning and of life and hope. Because nothing, absolutely nothing, compares to the value of knowing Jesus Christ and having a relationship with Jesus Christ. And if you could summarize our text today, it would be five simple words from Paul: that I may know Him. That I may know Him. See, Paul realized that Jesus Christ is the greatest treasure. And that was the goal of Paul's life. That was his pursuit in life. We saw earlier in Philippians 1:21, he says, "For me to live is Christ." Everything Paul did was about Jesus, because he knew everything in life ultimately is in Christ. So I wonder today, if you look at your life, are you pursuing Jesus? Can you say the very purpose of your life, the very reason you get out of bed in the morning, the very thing that you are the most passionate about, is said in those five words: that I may know Him? If you know Christ, is that the greatest of your desire of your heart, is to know Him even more? Is He your life's pursuit? And maybe here today you don't know Christ. You know about Christ, but you don't know Christ. And you're wondering if He's the real deal. And why is it so important that we have this relationship with Jesus? Well, from our passage today, I want to give you two reasons nothing compares to knowing Christ. Last week, in the first six verses of this passage, Paul gave a biography of what his life was like before Christ. And he had all these great things going against him, but he realized he couldn't get to heaven on his own. He realized that getting to heaven is not based on who you are or what you do. It's based on who Jesus is and what He has done. And so now Paul counts it all loss, and now he moves to his relationship with Jesus. Why he counted it all loss. And his banner cry is that I may know Him. And hope today, as you listen to the message, that you look at your life and ask yourself, is that the desire of my heart, that I may know Him? Well, here's two reasons it should be. The first thing is, knowing Him is the most important thing in life. A relationship with Jesus, knowing Christ, is the most important thing in life. What about a man named Tiny? Tiny lost 260 pounds. And he did weigh 500 pounds, and now he weighs a slim 240 pounds. And he did this, he lost weight because of a fast food place. And he works at a Zaxby's in Alabama. If you know what Zaxby's is, it's kind of like Cane's. They sell chicken and chicken and chicken. So he started working there when he weighed 500 pounds, and his boss saw that he was having trouble just doing basic things, moving without running out of breath. And so his boss got him a gym membership and encouraged him to go. And some of the other employees encouraged him and taught him about eating better, taking care of himself. Instead of eating the fried chicken, he ate grilled chicken. And so now in 19 months, he lost 260 pounds. I just can't imagine what it would be like to lose that much weight. So I focus on losing 2.6 pounds, and he's worried about 260 pounds. Imagine how much better he felt losing all that. Well, the Apostle Paul was a loser too. And he didn't lose weight that we know of, but he lost a lot of stuff in his life, but it was all worth it because of Christ. And we see here that Christ is worth the loss of everything. He's worth the loss of everything. Notice in verse 7, "But whatever things were gained to me, these things I've counted as loss for the sake of Christ." And here we see some accounting terms: gains and losses. And it's as if Paul had an Excel spreadsheet today. He would put in one column everything in his life that was gained to him, and he looked at it, and he saw that it was not worth the value of knowing Christ. What things were gained to him? We saw it here in verses 3 through 6. Everything about Paul's life: that he was a Pharisee, that he was circumcised, that he was a Jew, that he was religious, that he was zealous, and all this stuff. And he said none of it is worth the value of knowing Christ. And so it's as if he had a list of all these things and he put loss over it, that he may gain Christ. Or if we look in the treasure illustration, keep that going, it's as if he had all these bags of gold of all his accomplishments, all the valuable things in his life, and he weighed it against Christ and he said, "Christ is far more valuable than all this stuff. I'm going to count that loss because Christ is worth more." But not only did he count that loss, he counted everything lost. Notice in verse 8. More than that, I count all things to be lost in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them but rubbish, so that I may gain Christ. So not only does he say, I counted everything before I came to know Christ lost, I'm counting everything as lost. This is present tense. Everything in his life, his reputation, his comfort, his safety, material benefits, status, everything, his religious advantages. Someone added that all means all financial gain, all material gain, all physical gain, all intellectual gain, all moral gain, all religious gain. All these are no gains at all compared with the great gain. And it says they counted him as a rubbish. It's rubbish. That term is meant to, is thought to refer to excrement or dung, or the term also refers to stuff that was thrown out to the dogs and garbage, and they would scour through it. And Paul says, all my great accomplishments, everything in life is like garbage for dogs to scour through, because none of it is worth the value of knowing Christ. Because that's the most important thing in life, is to know Christ. I love my three daughters, and my wife is home with two of them today because they're not well. But yesterday, Ainsley turned 9 years old, and it's amazing that she turned nine. It's where the time go. And then the day before that, Emma turned two, and it's amazing that she's two. And now Chloe's almost 2 months old, so she's moved to the number one diaper, so that's a great accomplishment, you know, instead of the newborn diaper. But when you become a parent, you lose a lot of stuff, don't you? You lose money. You lose your privacy, you lose time, you lose your sanity sometimes, right? But all that stuff that I've lost becoming a dad is worth all of it. Why? Because nothing compares to knowing Ainsley and Emma and Chloe. And if that's the case for our kids, how much more is it the case for us knowing Christ? If our kids are worth the loss of that other, all that stuff, what is Christ worth the loss of? He is worth the loss of everything, knowing Christ. Because when you lose Christ, you may lose your reputation. You may lose, you have to lose your pride because you have to realize you can't save yourself. You may lose your family. They may turn their back on you. You may lose a lot of stuff, but nothing is worth that. Christ is worth the loss of everything because he's the most important thing in life. And not only that, because Christ is the way of eternal life. Jesus is the most important thing in life, knowing him, because he is the way of eternal life. I don't know if you heard about the woman who was lost in the Sierra Nevada mountains, and she was out there for 9 days. Anybody hear about it? All right. And not only was she lost, she fell off a cliff or something and broke one leg and hurt the ankle of the other. And so she survived basically by kind of limping and crawling around and drinking water from creeks, and she had a whistle around her neck she would blow and hoping she would be rescued. And then finally, after 9 days, the rescuers come, and she blows the whistle, and they finally see her, and she is saved. Now think about her situation. When she was lost for 9 days, she didn't care about a ball game and the score. She didn't care about the LSU game getting canceled. She didn't care about the latest fashions. She didn't care about her missing her reality show. What does she care about? All that she cared about, her greatest pursuit, was to be delivered, to be rescued, to be saved. And you and I are like that. We're not lost in the Sierra Nevada mountains, thank the Lord. We are lost in our sin. And our greatest pursuit in life should be to be delivered from that sin. And the only way we can be delivered is through Christ, because knowing him is the most important relationship in life. And we all know that, but somewhere along the way, we lose that, and we pursue these other things. But look at your priorities. Do your priorities reflect that Jesus is the most important thing in life, that knowing him is the most important in life? What about your children? Do you invest in them, your priorities, investment in them, is that they are the best ball player or the best dancer or the best singer, or is it that they know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior? See, knowing Christ is the most important thing in life. Not going to school, well, that's important. I value school. I love school. It's important. The most important thing in life is not, you know, financial success and success in the workplace. So it's good to do your best and to provide for your family. The most important thing is not to be healthy, though we need to be healthy. That's something we need. But what if you have all that? Jesus says, what does it value to gain the whole world and lose what? Your soul. What value is it to lose the whole world and gain your soul, right? Knowing Christ is the most important thing in life. And so we have to pursue Him. And not only that, not only is knowing Him the most important thing in life, it's the most intimate thing in life. Relationship with Him is not only the most important thing, it's the most intimate thing in life. As a Walter and Leslie Kimmel, they just celebrated their 75th wedding anniversary. They were married on August 18th, 1940. That's a few days ago. Some of you were at the wedding. And John is 102 years old and Anne is 98. And some of us are blessed to have wonderful marriages. And but your marriage is not your most important relationship. And it should not be the most intimate relationship. Christ is the most important relationship. And Christ is the most intimate relationship. And it's not that those aren't important, but when you're close to Christ, it makes you closer to one another, right? When you're right with Jesus, you're going to be a better husband. You're going to be a better wife. You're going to be a better parent, a better kid. It's Christ first. And when you get that right, everything else will follow suit. And Paul reminds us here of the intimacy of knowing Christ. There are several things here. First, we see, is to know Him personally. It's to know Him personally. Notice in the first part of verse 10, he says, that I may know Him. Paul doesn't say that I may know about Him, that I may know of Him. He says, no, that I may know Him. You know, there's a difference between knowing about someone and knowing someone, isn't it? There's a lot of folks I know about, but I don't know them personally. You may have heard the name John Piper. He's a well-known, he was a pastor, but now he's no longer pastoring. He's doing other ministry pursuits, and he's written about 700 books. And I've listened to his sermons. I've read a lot of his books. I've even met him in person. I know about John Piper, but guess what? I don't know John Piper. I can't call him up on the phone and talk to him. I can't show up at his house. He may think I'm stalking him. Why? Because I don't know him. I don't have a personal relationship with him. I know all about him, but I don't know him. And so many people are like that with Jesus. They know all about Him, but they don't know Him. They know about the Bible. They come to church. They may even pray. They may even been baptized. They may even put some money in the offering plate. They know all about Jesus, but they don't know Jesus. It's to know Him personally. And I thought about this past week. That's really hard to understand, that personal relationship with Jesus. What does that mean? I started thinking about, just think about your relationships, those that you are intimate and personal with. For one is you identify with them. Another thing is you spend time with them, right? You communicate with them. You talk with them. You make sacrifices for them. Your decisions influence them, and their decisions influence you. You know one another well. You make sacrifices for one another. You're loyal to them, right? And faithful to them, and they're faithful and loyal to you. It's a personal relationship. In the same way, it's true with Christ. We should be faithful and loyal to Him. We should spend time with Him. We should identify with Him. We should sacrifice for Him. Our influences, our decisions should be influenced on the basis of who He is and what He's done for us. That's that personal, intimate relationship. Amen. Notice in verse 8, I love what Paul says there. He says, more than that, I call things to be lost in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus, my what? Lord. See, Christ is not just our Savior, He's our Lord. Some folks say you can have Jesus as your Savior, but not as your Lord. No, you cannot. If He is truly your Savior, He is your Lord. He is your boss. He is your master. He is everything, your King, and you are to follow Him and to submit to Him. And it's a wonderful relationship that you have with Him. And I love that Paul doesn't say, guess what, I'm the Apostle Paul, and I've reached a certain level, and I don't need to know Jesus more. Did he say that? That's not even in some of the different translations, right? He doesn't say, I've arrived, and I'm okay, I've got my ticket to heaven, and I don't need to know Jesus anymore. No, the Apostle Paul, of all people who knew Christ, who met Him on the road to Damascus, he said, yes, I know Him, but I want to know Him more. that personal relationship. And it doesn't matter if you've been saved 30 minutes or 30 years or 30 weeks or somewhere in between. That should be your heart's desire, is to know Him more. You should never be satisfied with where you are with Christ. You should always want to pursue more intimacy with Him. You know Him personally, but also you can know His power. You know His power. Notice Paul says in verse 10, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection. He doesn't just want to know Jesus, he wants to know the power of His resurrection. If you've been following the news of late, and Donald Trump's been on the news of late and dominating and faring well in politics right now, and imagine you could spend the day with Donald Trump. Imagine you get a taste of His power, right? They'd pick you up in a limo, or they'd pick you up in a helicopter, or pick you up in a private jet, and you go anywhere you want to with Him, and eat at the best restaurants, and you wouldn't have to wait in line, and you know, the little thing that buzzes where you can sit down, and where he goes, they don't even have those things, I'm sure. Sit at the best seats and just talk to all these important people and people all around following you. There's a lot of power of Donald Trump. But you know what? He's not Jesus Christ. He is nothing compared to Christ. He doesn't have resurrection power. Jesus does. And the greatest display we see was Christ and the resurrection from the dead. And Paul says, I want to experience that. And you and I, we can experience that. We experienced it when we got saved, when we came to know Christ, because we were literally dead in our sins, and we were raised from the dead to have new life in Christ. We experience that resurrection power. And when we serve the Lord, we experience that. And ultimately, when we die, we will experience that. Because here, Paul doesn't know if he's going to live or he's going to die. And he says, when I die, I want to experience that resurrection power. We could experience the very power of Christ in our lives. But not only that, you get to know His pain. You get to know Him personally, you get to know His power, you know His pain. Notice in verse 10, I want to know Him, the power of His resurrection, and the fellowship of His, what? Sufferings, being conformed to His death, in order that I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Paul doesn't just say, I want to know Christ when it's convenient for me. Paul doesn't say, I only want to know Christ on the days the sun is shining and everything is okay. He says, I want to know the fellowship of His sufferings. It's as if when you suffer, it's a sweetness of fellowship with Christ and with other believers. And I thought about this. I thought about The Lord of the Rings, because the first movie is called The Fellowship of the Rings, or The Fellowship of the Ring. And it's because of one ring, all these different characters come together, and they have a common cause, a common goal, and they work together, and there's a fellowship among them based on that one ring. And the same is true with Christ. There's a fellowship, there's a purpose, there's a sense of togetherness around, not a ring, but of suffering for the gospel. You know, some folks say if you follow Christ, everything's great, you'll never get a flat tire, you'll never miss a front parking spot, you know, you'll have everything will be perfect in your life. I'm asking, what Bible are they reading? You know, what's going on? People suffer for Christ, and we see that more and more today, and it's getting closer to home if you've been following the news. People taking a stand for Christ. Notice what it says in chapter 1. I just want to read one verse to you. In chapter 1, in verse 29, he says, for it has been granted for Christ's sake not only to believe in Him, but to what? Suffer for His sake. It's part of following Christ is suffering. And it's not just suffering with cancer or suffering with a low bank account or suffering with sinus infection. It's suffering, persecution for the cause of Christ. Paul would have known his pain. You know, it's like I thought about it when you and I, we buy meat at the store, it's been stamped or the label's been stamped, you know, USDA grade A meat or made from 100% beef or anything to identify with it. And when you and I get saved, we are stamped with a cross. And we always live in the shadow of the cross. And following Christ is always the way of suffering. It's the way of suffering. You know, so many people want Christ when it's convenient. But we're to follow Him no matter what. And here's the thing. If you and I come to the point where we have to suffer, if you and I come to the point where we're thrown in jail for taking a stand for Christ, guess what? Jesus is worth it, right? Jesus is worth it. Because here's Paul facing death. You know what Paul was saying? I'd rather face death for Christ and know Him than to live an easy, comfortable, breezy life and not know Him. Right? It's better to suffer for Christ because you get to know Him rather than not know Him and be spared suffering. Because nothing surpasses the value of knowing Christ. And it's a very intimate relationship where He never leaves you or forsakes you. He's there for you. He cares for you. And so since knowing Christ is the most important thing, I want you to ask yourself this morning, do you know Him? Not do you know about Him, not do you come to church, not did you come to Bible school, not did your parents bring you to church or teach this or that or the Sunday school. Do you know Him? Do you have a personal relationship with Jesus? Are you intimate with Him? Is there a point in your life where God changed your heart, where God changed your life, and you now have a love and desire for Christ? You now have a love and desire and affection for Him. And just like you love your kids and your spouse even more so, you love Christ. You come to the point where you love Christ above everything, above everyone. And second of all, since Paul cried out that I may know Him, in spite of his great knowledge, his great experience, who he was, he had a desire to know Christ more. Is that your desire today, to know Christ more? If it is your desire to know Christ more, are you pursuing Christ? Because you just don't roll out of the bed one day all of a sudden and say, I'm close to Christ. You just don't all of a sudden hit you and say, I'm close to Christ, close to Jesus. You have to pursue Christ. You have to get in the Word. You have to spend time praying. You have to, serve the Lord. You have to fellowship with other believers and encourage one another and love one another. And it's all connected as we pursue Christ. Because He's far more valuable than $4 million treasure. He's far more valuable than all the treasures put together, because knowing Him is the most important thing in life, and it's the most intimate thing in life. Let's pray. Father, I want to thank You for today, Lord. Thank You for this passage. And Lord, I pray that's our heart's desire, as Paul said, that I may know Him more. God, I pray first of all that we would know Him. Lord God, there might be some here today who know Him more, who know about Jesus. They don't know Jesus. They know about the Bible. They may believe everything, but they haven't submitted to Christ as Lord. Open their eyes and let them see that, Lord. And let them respond, Lord, today by surrendering to You and submitting to Christ as their King and as their Savior. That they would abandon themselves and find refuge in Christ today. Lord, I pray for all of us, Lord, who have been saved maybe for a long time or a short period of time, Lord, that we would not be satisfied, and that as a church we would not just be comfortable, but that we would say, oh, Lord, our greatest pursuit in life is not a certain title at work. It's not a certain amount in our retirement account or our savings account. It's not to wear a certain kind of clothes. It's not to have the kid with the best on the ball field or in the dance studio, Lord. It is for all of us to pursue and to know Christ more. I pray that be the desire of our hearts, Lord. Show each one here today what our true desires are, what our true priorities are, Lord, and if it's Christ. Thank You, Lord, that we get to know Him and get to know You. May we know You more. It's in His name. Let's stand, and as we respond, whatever God's called you to do, maybe it's just pray and examine your heart. Maybe it's, Lord, I desire that, but Lord, just give me the passion, the energy to pursue You. Lord, help me draw closer to You. Maybe there's a sin in your life you need to repent of and give to the Lord. Maybe that's keeping you from that close, intimate relationship. Whatever God has called you to do, let's take care of that this morning as we sing and respond.